I just remember I was smiling to myself, Mark, after that defeat at Aldershot. Andy said everyone's too nice. Are you too nice, Mark?
I don't mean, I think Andy's, he knows better than everyone. It's a ruthless business, football, unfortunately, but it's a results-based business, and it's what we're all in it for, to get results on the pitch.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say, I can't be too nice, Adam. It's my job. Now, it's never dull, Mark, is it? Because Pompey, being the club you are in that league, it's either great or bad for some people. It's very hard to find a nice, even, quiet time for you, isn't it?
It is, yeah, and I think that really coincides to a degree that our home form's been really, really good and our away form has been pretty poor. So we tend to have these highs and lows every week where we win a home game, everyone thinks it's about to kickstart our season, then we tend to go away and not do too well, and then everyone's on a downer. And it's just trying to get that even keel. So, and it is, you're right, what you say, it's football generally now, it's very reactive, you know, people tend to look at things over a very short period of time, and on the back of a bad result, you know good, and no one knows what they're doing, and on the back of a good result, everything's fine, and you're going to go on and win the league.
Well, I mean, Mark, league success is everything, isn't it? Second season of your tenure, I mean, how much of a blow to the business model and did your plans would it be if you didn't go up?
I mean, we've already started budgeting for next season, and you start where you are, and that's in League Two. It wouldn't be too much of a blow financially. The big blow would always be, obviously, if you got a relegation. But staying in League Two financially is what our model is based on. But obviously, we aspire to get promoted, and then everything looks so much better. But going up to League One creates its own pressures and problems, and you could argue financially that the pressure increases on that, as it does when you go up into the Championship. The riches are that much greater, but then your expenditure goes up exponentially to match that.
Mark, can I just ask you, it sounds incredibly pessimistic to say that your business model is actually based on you staying where you are.
No, what I mean by that is that you have to budget on a worst-case scenario in any business. What we can't do is start preparing a budget for next year based on achieving promotion into League One, because it's you can't guarantee that. So you have to base your base business model on being in the same league. What if we are in the same league? So that's your starting point. Then what you're looking at after that is, well, if we do go into League One, what does that give us in regards to the playing budget and that? What increases can we afford to put that to then stay in League One and go again?
Yeah.
But that's how you have to prepare it.
Well, you've certainly backed Andy with your budget. There's no doubt about it, Mark. Of course, you've got the big squad. You backed him in the last week with three more players. And I just was smiling to myself this afternoon, looking at the Premier League agents' fees that have just been published, Mark. Over £16 million in the last year Chelsea spent on agents. Southampton only 2.7. Man United not that high. And then I looked at yours, it was £75,000 for the last year. So that would scare you if you had agents' fees of about £16 million to deal with. But not significant for you, obviously, considering the amount of turnover of players you've had. But does it mean the accounts are done? Is that why you've been able to publish that figure? And if so, what state's the club in?
No, I mean, how it works with the agent's figures, every time you do a transfer of a player or a loan, or if any time that an agent's been used, you have to declare that to the Football League in your return to get the player. So they've got a current figure always of the amount of agent's fees that any one club is spending, and we're legally obliged to publish it, as you said, as have the other clubs, because it's all part of the transparency now. But in regards of agents, I mean, you know, I hate to use a word, but it's a necessary evil, really.
If you hadn't used it, I was going to fill it in for you.
it's just a part of the business that all the players have got agents now. If you don't deal with agents, then you just won't get the players that you need.
Mark, I was just wondering about the trust, the community ownership part of it. Does that put more pressure on you, do you think? I mean, when you go out onto the pitch, when you're there on match day, you've got all those eyes looking at you, and all those eyes, they're not just fans, they're people that you've got to be accountable to.
Yeah, I mean, myself and Ian McInnes, the chairman, and Ashley Brown, obviously, as chairman of the trust, and the directors, we have talked about this. And listen, I think all of us, the type of people we are, whatever we did in life, we would put pressure on ourselves to succeed. But I do, when people have put their hard-earned cash into the club, it's not like we've got a really, really rich, wealthy owner that it's just a drop in the ocean to them. This is people's hard-earned cash. They miss their holidays, you know. They saved up to put money into the club. And we're always carrying that weight on our shoulders. But, you know, all you can do is go out, give your best, and Pompey fans always respect that. And that's what we try and do, and in what we're trying to do to move the club forward.
Yeah, I think so. And of course, the other thing that a lot of people ploughed money into was the new training ground. You're going to curse me for asking, but how's it coming along?
It's coming along really well. I mean,
delayed, isn't it?
Well, it's been delayed a couple of weeks. In any project, you're liable to get that. And the worst thing is, it's like you try and be an open, as transparent as I've tried to be. So you get the news ring me and say, when are you moving into the training ground? And you give them as honest an answer as you can and say, we've got an X date provisionally penciled in. And that suddenly becomes, oh, that's the date they're moving in. When, you know, in any project, whether it be a house building or any big project, it's just, you know, that's the date that you try to set yourself.
So what you're saying is, if you give a date, it just gets turned into a delay because it doesn't happen and then you get criticised for it.
Yeah, I mean, you're trying to be as open and transparent as you can. We was hoping to be in 2 weeks ago, then we had a spell of bad weather. The electric connection to put the actual main cable in got delayed as a result. Then we got put back 2 weeks because of that, and we're at the standard at the stage now where we're looking to try and move in Monday week. But again, the electric gets connected next week, then all the internal electrics of the building and everywhere, that has to be tested. So hopefully, fingers crossed, there won't be any problems there. So all being well, we are aiming for Monday week. But again, it's a bit of a movable feast, and it could be a week later. But all I'll say is, we've come a huge way in 6 months, and the only way we've done that is by driving ourselves, by saying, no, we are going to do this on this date, we are going to do this on X date, because if you tend to put the dates back, then everyone relaxes, and it just that sets the standard further back, where we try to bring it forward as quickly as we can. And then if we're a week late or too late, great, but we're still probably 2 or 3 weeks ahead of where we would be if we'd give it a date a month in the future.
Yeah, fine, lovely. Thank you for being as clear as you can on that. Just finally, Mark, before I let you go and have your dinner, I don't know where we are, because I don't follow it in minutiae with the Tesco development thing and when the club benefits from that and when that kicks in, or when you see benefit from that, when the ground gets done off the back of it. What's the plan?
Well, the plan is, if anyone went down Anson Road this last week, you see 50 to 100 workmen there digging up the car park behind the north stand, because the first part of the deal is that they have to make a car park there ready for us before they start on the work behind the Fratton end. I believe in the next, it's all down to the legalities of it, but at some point in the next month or so, the money will be transferred into an escrow account that will be held and released to us, and it's specifically for redevelopment of Fratton Park, whether that be renovation of the existing three stands, four stands, or a new north stand. All that's there to be discussed in the future, and dependent on obviously the funds and how much extra money we can raise. But again, I'm sure that the board, being as intelligent and studious as they are, will sit, discuss it, we'll discuss it with the fans and look for the best way forward.
So are you going to tell me how much money the club gets from the Tesco?
No, I'm not. It's shrouded in a confidentiality agreement.
It's so easy, isn't it? Let's just say it's confidentiality.
Good man. Thank you for being so honest. It's really appreciated.
All right, thanks to both of you. Have a good night.